AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Corn and wheat futures gave back strong early session gains while bean futures were mixed. Bull spreaders had control of the corn, soybean, and soybean meal markets. The cattle market has regained upside momentum, and it feels like there's still some room to run. We'll get deep into the cattle market.
Live from the Stampede to the Summit of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Scott Varlick from Koima Varlick. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. Yeah, a lot going on in the cattle market right now. And I think that the timing for the conversation with Scott is really, really good. Frustration with what is going on in the cash market.
Mm-hmm.
I think is about as thick as I've seen it for a while.
Yeah.
And getting Scott's perspective on what's going on in the cash market, what might happen in the future, where this market might be headed longer term. I think it's a really important conversation to
I
have
would,
at this time.
I would say happy Thanksgiving. Oh. And with that, do you see what I've done here? I've demonstrated how important it is to time these things correctly.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving? What's the matter with this guy? Who cares? No.
What?
Not happy Thanksgiving. It's the wrong time.
It's the wrong time. That's right. That's right. You know what else it's the wrong time for?
What's that?
31 degree high today.
31 degrees, that's all?
31 degree. Yeah, the wind chill, and there's a breeze blowing. The wind chill is like 12 degrees now.
Ooh,
it's chilly.
That sounds awful.
The sun's shining, I guess that makes it pretty deceiving when you step outside.
Yes.
Is what it does.
That'll happen.
You think about it being March 29th and you step mm-hmm. outside and it feels like 12 degrees. That's a little bit of a shock to the system. So
it's almost April with the fuzzy ducks and the warm feelings and whatnot.
That's right. Hurry up.
What's with these ducks? It's hard to find good ducks these days. That's the thing. You just can't find them anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, buddy. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. What you got in the news?
Chip, wheat futures traded sharply higher early in the day session on word Cargill will stop facilitating exports of Russian wheat. A deeper look at the situation revealed Cargill accounts for just 4% of Russian exports. That pulled the rug out from under the wheat market and sent HRW futures lower on the day. Viterra will also reportedly end exports from Russia. If other multinational grain handlers stop doing business in Russia, the wheat and corn markets may be forced to reevaluate the setback from today's price highs. All three flavors of wheat posted a low range open, rallied sharply, then fell back to post a low range close. May hard red winter wheat futures were 2 cents lower, 870.5. May SRW wheat up a nickel at 704.75. May spring wheat futures closed at 878, down 4.5 cents, Chip.
There is some speculation among the global geopoliticians, if that's such a thing.
I like that. No, that's good.
Right. That Russia is really starting to feel the weight of the sanctions, the economic sanctions, for the first time. And the idea here is that maybe now is the time to step down a little harder on some of their business activity, and that could make a difference in Russia's intentions in Ukraine going forward. I don't know if that's right or not, but here it is.
I'm not buying it. Well, a string of U.S. corn sales continued. USDA this morning announced the sale of 204,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to China in the current marketing year. Since March 14, old crop sales to China have totaled 3.2 million metric tons. That's about 126 million bushels, Chip. Ethanol production in the weekend of March 24 averaged 1.003 million barrels per day. That's up 6,000 barrels from the previous week. Ethanol stocks dropped 661,000 barrels to 25.527 million. May corn futures opened slightly lower and near session lows, then rallied through 650 before setting back to close mid-range. Front month corn closed above 650 for the first time since February 23rd. May corn futures up 3 1/4 cents, 650 1/2. July corn up a penny to 630 1/2. December corn futures closed at 570 1/2, down 1 3/4 cents. That's a big half cent in the May contract there, isn't it, Chip? That's 650 1/2.
Yes, it certainly is. It certainly is. And it does feel like some upside momentum is coming back to the corn market.
May soybean futures opened slightly lower and near session lows, then rallied to post a high range close and settle above 1475 for the first time since March 20. Bull spreaders were active in today's session. That raised speculation that bean export demand could be supporting this week's solid rally. Spreaders also liquidated long meal short bean oil spreads, capping upside momentum in soybean meal prices. May beans 9 1/2 cents higher, 1477 1/4. July beans up 6 1/4, 1450 3/4. Novi beans closed at 1302 1/2. That one's down 1¢ 1/4.
Okay, it's possible that some export demand is coming to the U.S. for soybeans right now, but I think that's stretching it a bit. I don't know if we're getting much demand in here at the moment.
Well, Chip, following 2 days of a strong rally, December cotton futures opened nearly steady, fell to moderate losses, then recovered to close near the opening range. December cotton was just 3 ticks lower, 83.25. Looks like we've got Todd Bubba Horwitz. You want to go there now?
You bet. I sure do. Todd, how's it going, buddy? It's good to talk with you again.
What's up, Chipper? How are you?
Doing just fine. So, what do you make of the markets? What messages are you receiving?
Well, I think this is kind of what we've been looking for a long time. I think they got hammered and they took them down to a level which they could not sell them anymore, and suddenly they popped. And today and yesterday they got right to resistance and kind of failed a little bit, but that you would expect that, you would actually hope for that.
Yep.
If you're looking for a much bigger move, it's always better to see resistance fail the first attempt through it and then bring it through, because it comes through with more power. And I think that we're starting to see some of the things shake out that we've been looking for. It's taken quite a while, but I do think that we are on the correct side now. And I look for this to continue, and I think we will get that big market this year. And I think that there's going to be a lot of money flowing in there, because even though the equities have been higher and they're higher today, they're higher on garbage and on nothing and with no action. And the price action is brutal, whereas the price action in the grain markets is very solid.
Yeah. The equities are just looking at the liquidity that's come back into the system with you'd call it another round of quantitative easing in here, I guess, but that's what the equities are looking at, isn't it?
Well, I think they're looking at that, but I think they're also trying to outguess what the Federal Reserve is going to do, and we know that they're ignorant and that they've never made the right decision, and that I think that the markets think that they're going to start cutting rates and stop hiking, and I think that they're out of their mind because inflation is not going away. I mean, we might be having a temporary lull at 18 to 20% inflation, but we're going to get back up to those upper levels. You're going to see oil. We already see oil has had a pretty huge rally as we can back up into the 70s. And I wouldn't be surprised by Memorial Day if it's back at close to 90.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to avoid that either, Bubba. I'll agree with you on that 100%. All right, man. We will talk to you again next week.
Hey, guys, have a great week. Thanks, always.
All right. That is Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. We'll get to the livestock news and have a conversation with Scott Barling, KKB Trading, next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this afternoon. I am anxious to get to the conversation with Scott Varlick, but first, let's go ahead and do the livestock closes there, Davis.
Well, Chip, June cattle were 75 cents higher, 159.65. October live cattle jumped 85 cents, 163.90. May feeders up a buck 72 and a half to 202.52 and a half. And looks like the pork cutout value fell again yesterday, down about $9 in 2 weeks, yeah. Buddy. May hogs a buck 57 and a half lower, 84.42 and a half. June contract down a buck 90, 90.82 and a half. There you go, pal.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, those gains in the cattle futures, there is some talk of strength in the cash market. Let's find out what's going on there. Scott Varlick, KKV Trading. Scott, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on, guys. It's the proper music to use, at least for a little bit of an intro. If you had something slow, I would say, no, we're not in that mood in the cattle market right now. So we're ready to roll.
That is exactly right. The cattle market is not in a slow bump mood right now, no question. And I said it at the start of the show, Scott, the frustration that a lot of finishers are showing right now with the lack of strength, or showing towards the lack of strength in the futures market and kind of the stubbornness of the cash market to move higher. The frustration is thick right now, but might be starting to change.
Yeah, I can agree with the frustration that we've had. I mean, we are on a good run, so it's hard to complain because we're at some pretty good prices. But with some of the obstacles we have to deal with, it maybe needs to be higher. You know, some of the examples is I had some fats that just go out here this week that got sold for $165. Originally, when you bought those calves last fall, you would have been looking at a corn market, the futures market that was lower, and you think, okay, this is about what I can buy these calves for. You know, maybe the break even's 158 to 160, but what has happened since then is the corn basis held on very strong in some areas, especially the area that I'm sitting in right here in Northwest Iowa. So you never had a chance to get any of those lower corn prices. It just kind of stayed at 750 to the bunk for an extended period of time. And then Mother Nature decided to throw her hat in the ring and give us all the weather we could handle, really costing, big prices on cost of gain. So
cost
as we
of gain
see
went
some
the
of
rough.
These prices go, as we see some of these cattle go and you're seeing your cost of gains, we're back to not making any money at these prices, even at 165. They're still going to be net a loser. So that's part of the frustration. Yes, probably just paid too much for feeders. I mean, that's always what everybody's going to fall back on. But when you try to squeeze it out with what you can look at ahead, it was just unable to be done. I can't imagine what these guys in the South have been looking at for corn prices all year long, too. I mean, it's cost of gains, ate everybody up, and there's some of your frustration for sure.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the guys down south were looking at $9 to the bunk on a bushel of corn, weren't they?
Exactly, and it just wasn't working. Even some of the best formulas in the world weren't quite equating enough to make up for some of those high corn prices. So it'd have been different if the futures had rallied up to meet the cash, but when it shows up in basis, and maybe you caught yourself going hand to mouth, it was it was a little bit frustrating because having the physical bot on hand, maybe at a better price, would have been better, but never really got that opportunity to load up on any of that at a better price.
That's right. Yeah, and that opportunity really disappeared the first part of September, even the end of August last year is when that opportunity kind of disappeared to get corn bought at you know, a cheaper level.
It really did, because at harvest time, everybody was kind of tripping over themselves, making sure, just give me some inventory to get me started, and then a little bit later, we'll find a better price to try to add to that, and the later price never came.
Yep, exactly, exactly. Okay, what is going on in the cash market right now? What are the factors that you are looking at most closely?
Feeling a little bit better. It feels good. We needed some guys to really put their heels down and say, hey, we need some of these higher prices. We're getting through some of this yearling run here in the northern sector. So we're starting to get to some tighter numbers, which we're going to be talking plenty about over the next couple of segments here. But we've got a few people starting to ask higher prices. There's a lot of 170 asking prices. I've heard one instance where it has been given. And there's some guys that aren't even willing to take the 170 yet. I am hearing some people saying, some producers that are actually going to pass the 170 because we know we're needing more. We know what these cost of gains are, and we know how tight things are getting. And we're starting to see some of these packers really start to try to get their hands on some inventory out in front of them, you know, and that can generally happen this time of year when you have a June futures that's quite discount. Maybe they can dangle some carrots further out. And that's certainly happening. You know, I mean, you've got some of these regionals trying to bid for 3 and 4 weeks out, trying to get ahead of the game here because numbers are starting to get really tight. And even hearing in the last couple of weeks of May, some $10 over the June board bids. Yeah, that's appealing in the grand scheme of things. Being $10 over the June board in the end of May is you know, probably $5 stronger than what we would typically see. But I don't see a lot of producers just tripping over themselves trying to take some of them far out bids because the optimism is there. And we feel like the numbers are about to get really tight and we have the ability, we have a little bit of leverage to try to ask some higher prices here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm going to say, and it concerns me often is, cattle feeders are notorious for shooting themselves in the foot by backing up their inventory. I don't feel like the inventory is going to back up this time and kind of create a bulge in marketing at any point. Do you?
It has not felt like that for, I don't know, to start the year. I've never felt like we're getting a little bit backed up and guys are getting antsy and need to get some of these cattle moved. The only reason we were trying to get cattle moved is because the weather was so horrible that you just wanted them gone. Right. It was more that attitude and seeing the weight losses with what the weather did. We don't have cattle that are, you know, up and down the road overweight looking for a home. So I would agree. It feels to me like we're pretty current. We're sitting in a good spot. We can afford to pass some of these prices because calf crop even behind it is not quite ready, not quite market ready yet. They went through the same winter. They're all going to be pushed back, you know, in the weight category just a little bit yet. So it feels good. The situation feels good. Feels good, acts good. That's kind of how I'm noting it.
Now, if all of a sudden the cash market starts to respond to tightening supplies, the futures market, there's no guarantee that futures market is going to come along for any kind of a ride. But again, I kind of feel like it's going to this time.
Yeah, I think there's enough eyes on this, you know, supply issue that it's going to be aware of what the cash is doing. And it's good to see the cash finally be the leader. I think that's a good change for us here just because it's been led by we think numbers are getting tighter, so let's go buy some deferred cattle. And then by the time we get there, the cash wasn't quite ready to be that high yet. So now maybe if we get the cash out front, decide to start leading, I think that bodes well for the market. I mean, we even have cash prices right now that are higher than what some of those deferred futures are, in particular like the December live cattle board. We've gained it now, finally, on the cash. We've passed it. So I think that's a good sign to see the fronts leading, the cash leading. There's a few people talking about well, seasonally, you know, third week of March, that's your cash high for the year. But I don't see that slowing anybody down. And we don't see a bunch of numbers coming behind it that are going to really, really decrease this cash. So I think everybody's feeling like this can hang on a little longer than the third week of March. And grilling season is also pushed back a little bit, it looks like.
Yep. Not for me, Scott. In preparation for today, I pulled a couple of ribeyes out of the freezer yesterday morning and had those on the grill last night just to get me in the right state of mind for today's conversation.
Oh, that was a good choice. Yeah, my grilling season is year-round as well, so it doesn't slow me down. But it did get nice enough the other day where I could actually clean it sufficiently this time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so demand for beef from me, demand for beef from you is staying strong. The big question, as we see this expected strength come to the cash market, what's the box beef going to do? What are higher retail prices going to do to demand? What about the general economy? What kind of an impact is that going to have on demand? I want to talk about that in the next segment, Scott. First, though, the structure of the futures market, the forward curve. Does it make sense to you, and what opportunities might it be offering?
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Time now for news of note from Pro Farmer. Global commodities trader Cargill Inc. says it will stop exporting Russian grain at the beginning of 23-24. That's on July 1st. The Wall Street Journal reports there is no sign Western sanctions are harsh enough to pose a short-term threat to Russia's ability to wage war. China will auction another 140,000 metric tons of state-owned wheat reserves, this coming on April 6th. The White House is preparing to call for federal banking regulators to impose new rules on mid-sized banks. President Joe Biden told House Speaker Kevin McCarthy he hopes the Republican budget plan can be released before lawmakers depart for their two-week Easter break. And China's central bank has lent more than 300 billion yuan via a relending tool that helped banks to make 60 billion yuan in loans to green projects. News of note is taken from the pages of Pro Farmer. Get more, but try ProFarmer.com. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us this afternoon. We're in the middle of a cattle conversation with Scott Varlick from KKV Trading. First, Davis, go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, looks like we've got May HRW wheat futures 2 cents lower today, 870.5. May soft red wheat up a nickel, 704.75. May corn futures up 3.25 cents to 650.5. December corn futures closed at 570.5, down 1.75 cents. May soybean futures 9.5 cents higher at 14.77¼. Novi beans closed at 13.02½, down a penny and a quarter. December cotton just 3 points lower, 83.25. On your livestocks, June fed cattle were 75 cents higher, 159.65. May feeders up $1.72½ to 202.52½. And May lean hog futures $1.57½ lower, 84.42½. That is your quick market recap. Now, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Scott Varlick, KKV Trading, is our guest analyst today. We are talking about what's happening in the cattle market. Okay, Scott, the structure of the futures market. You got the April 165.82, June 159.65, basically steady out to the August 159, and then we get some strength into the fall and winter months, 163.90 in the October, decent 168.75. Does that kind of a structure make sense to you? Are there some risk management operations in that structure? What do you see?
It looks okay to me as far as the summers having their discount and April leading the charge. I think that's fine. And June usually doesn't try to decide if it wants to catch up, typically till about the month of May anyway. So yep. I think it's okay. It's dangling some decent prices out there. Summer's discount for a reason. There's a reason June and August have their discounts. So seeing that August is the lowest on the board, yeah, that's going to be a pretty typical setup for me. And, you know, as far as structures for protection, the best thing guys are trying to do, I mean, with what we're having to spend for these feeders and what your corn costs are, you in interest at 8%, it's so hard to just dive in and not have any kind of plan or any kind of protection. Yes, we're bullish. We're all looking at the supply side and saying, you know what, it's going to get tighter. Our on-feed number is still pretty high in the grand scheme of things. We still have the heifers in the feed yard. We haven't seen that shift yet, so we all have that in our heads that we're pretty friendly and the tighter numbers are coming yet. We're still not even there yet. So it's evidently showing up in the sale barns as well, because you're buying calves. You're selling calves that might not work, and then you're buying calves with a higher break-even yet. It's tough to swallow that type of structure when you look at the cash feeders versus where the board's at. So we've had to just kind of pony up, get some kind of, you know, floors to help you sleep at night, and you need the top side open. You know, it's so hard to just to try to hedge cattle here, because they're not going to work on anything that you buy. So we don't have a list of guys hitting margin calls. Just because that opportunity to do straight hedging really is not been there, because higher cost of gains, what you're spending for the feeders, but we've got a lot of money dangling out there. So we got to be trading wisely and thinking wisely on some of these decisions that we're making on buying feeders for sure.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned, you know, maybe we're not there yet on the total tightness that this cattle market is going to feel. And I agree with you, because we haven't seen much, if any, sign of heifer retention at this point, have we?
We have not been able to see that sign and verify that it's here. Heifers quit going to the feed yard. They're still in the feed yard. We still have an increase in heifer slaughter even to start this year. And the cow slaughter, cull cow rate is high. The price for those cull cows is a good price. There is demand for them. They want those. They need the meat. So a lot of those open cows, it's been easy to hit the road rather than think about, hey, how do we try to expand this cow herd? So we're agreeing that these heifers are still on feed yet. Maybe we get a bunch of moisture this year. That's going to finally be the turn where we stop this large increase in female slaughter and we start to think forward. And it starts with, we're finally starting to see a little bit more profit, a little bit more money head down to the feeder calf sector. You know, that's the side that can start to see it first, because, you know, there's a lot of people saying, man, these heifers are going to be tight. I want to buy some heifers. I want to breed them. And then I'm going to sell them as breads. And that program in particular has not been working very well. Right. And part of the reason is we don't have that guy ready to calve out a bunch of heifers with the cost that it's involved in it, with the labor that it is, having the ground, having the feed. There's so much cost in that that we still need to keep getting some money down to the feeder calf sector. So it's appealing for somebody to say, hey, yeah, I'm ready. Let's do this work. You know, let's calve out some cows. So it seems to me like that's where the big turn's got to happen.
What is the guy that eventually does start buying heifers, bred heifers, to expand a cow herd? What does that guy look like? The question I'm asking is, with the cow market, as good as it is right now, if someone is thinking of stepping out of the business anytime in the next 5 years, there's incentive to do it now. Who comes in and starts buying them?
That's just it. It's taken a lot of money for a young producer to try to get started. Yeah. 8% interest and spending what you have to spend now, it's tough. So trying to figure out where that is, I think, start one, we need some rain. You know, we're going to need some moisture to get some feed around. But it looks like there's going to be a good run on feeder calves for the, you know, years down the road. This doesn't look like it's something that, well, let's try to make this work here for a year while it's still hot. It's looking like it needs to extend itself beyond a year at some higher levels to try to rebuild the cow herd. So I think that's why that incentive keeps getting dangled. And I wish I had a better answer for who that guy is that needs to start to do this, because I think that's why we haven't seen the big turnaround in the building of the cow herd, because we're still kind of looking for those guys.
You know, we talk about that, it seems like, every time that we get to this point in the cow herd, and that who's gonna keep it going. Somebody always shows up because there's always some money to be made. And we got it. You are exactly right. We've got to give them incentive to get in there and jump in with both feet. Demand side of the market. We better get there before we run out of time, Scott. How do you feel about beef demand right now?
We feel great. We feel like the beef production at the level it's been over the last few years, weathering all the storms that we've weathered, that it still has good room to move higher. And it's going to have to move higher with a limited supply, and we're going to get tighter on numbers. We're going to have higher prices. It's not going to be able to be sold cheap, in my opinion, because there's not going to be enough to just, you know, have cheap beef available for everyone. So I think it is something that we've proven through thick and thin that this beef demand is holding on strong. We think it's great. These daily kills are still staying on stronger than I expected. So we're still turning. I think there's a lot of room. The U.S. Consumer, the percentage of your income that you spend on food is so much smaller than the rest of the world that I think there's a lot more room there that, yes, we can still sell beef at higher prices, and I think that's going to happen.
281.09 on the heavyweight choice box beef market this morning. What's the upside potential there? Because what I'm thinking is, if this big move in the cash, if some strength in futures, if all that's going to happen, there's got to be incentive for the Packers to also bid up. What's the upside on the box beef?
I think the upside, you know, they ran it to 470 during COVID and sure got away with that with large margins. And we've talked, you know, that to death that, yeah, not enough money made it down to the cattle sector. But the leverage is flipping into the cattle producers' hands here. As tight as they're going to be, they're going to put a squeeze on the packer here. It's not going to surprise me if they're going to have to see some red ink for a period of time. Especially as we're looking to try to expand the beef industry, it's really a hard time for us to try to expand slaughter now when we're in as tight as numbers as we are. But they're gonna have to sharpen their pencils, because it's gonna get tighter for the packing industry. Because I think that's what's gonna also keep these beef prices higher. Because if they start, you know, slowing their kill or do whatever they have to do to try to keep these prices higher, they're going to do it. I think these boxes have to stay strong, and I think they're going to, barring any outside influence. That's the biggest fear of our beef industry right now. We feel like the supply side's great, so we have some room. We've got good demand, but yeah, you have a few banks go under, and some of that news a couple of weeks ago, it sends shivers down your spine, because that's the kind of outside influence that would come in and really hurt a rally on our market. So that's the biggest thing we have for a fear that we're watching out for.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what, Scott? Grilling season for the rest of the consumers out there. Can't get here fast enough in my book. Let's get it here. And, man, I hope Is it calving season for you right now?
We are in breeding season. We got them on the ground. They're doing good. So
okay.
It's been a struggle, but that's been a challenge.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Scott Varlick, one of my favorite conversations. We tried to do it 3-4 times a year at a minimum. Scott Varlick with KKV Trading. Okay, Scott Davis, what am I saying? Davis and I will be right back. This
You're
is Scott Confusion.
Me. You're killing me.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The 2023 Bracket Busters Challenge presented by Case IH is underway. Who's still in the game? Find out. Head to agweb.com now through April 3rd to check the leaderboard.
Well, welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Davis Michelson here, your pal. Davis Michelson, Chip Flory, my pal, and your pal.
Yes.
Your beloved host, Chip Flory, hanging out.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, I got a lot of bees in my bonnet today.
Oh, boy.
Okay? What Bubba had to say. I feel like he really made some horse sense there in talking about, he said, this is what we've been looking for in price action for a really long time. Now, you know, the thing is, Bubba, he's always on the blue side. He always says, it's going high. It's going high. Okay? High. Good to see a market fail at resistance one day and then punch through the next day, because when it does that on the second day and closes above it, like we saw in the May corn contract, it does so con mucho gusto. You know what I mean? It's got a little oomph behind it, and that might be what we're looking for to get back a little higher from here.
Yeah, it's a prove it attitude in the market is what it turns into. So the first step above $6.50 in that July contract, maybe it was the May contract, the move back above $6.50 yesterday, it was the May, then sat back and closed below $6.50. Today had the big push above it early in the session and held on to close just above it. Now, it wouldn't surprise me to see May corn trade on both sides of $6.50 for – you know, a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does is it just builds that foundation for the next move. And to me, based on the way that the demand has come into the market, good grief, Davis, to me, it feels like maybe that next move is that we're building a base rather than a top at 650.
Well, and corn has done that since where did it start? At 525, and we were in that range for, like, you know, seven years, and then we moved up to like 550, and then it was like another 18 years within 10 cents either side of the, you know, it just, I'm exaggerating, but you know, it just sort of would find this little spot to kind of tie itself to and go above and below, but never stray from it too far, and then take off after a little while of hanging around there.
And the base building is important, that, and you know, the V bottoms that we are looking at in the soy complex right now,
you don't like
them. I'll almost guarantee we're going to go back down and visit those lows.
Interesting.
It just got beans just got too cheap too quick, so get a bit of an upside recovery in here. If you know, building a low, whether it's a seasonal low or whatever, is a process. It's not just some let's spike down and hit the low and recover, and here we are back above 1475, and it's time to go again.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me at all if we don't do some base building by going back down and testing those lows at least one more time in the soy complex. And while that's happening, corn might just kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen.
Yeah, interesting. I think we can start a conversation about a lot of what you and Scott Varlick from KKV talked about mm-hmm. with this question. If the Fed decides it's going to reverse course and now cut rates, is inflation getting worse a guarantee?
A guarantee? No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not a guarantee. Is it likely? I would say yes.
Because it's cheap money that got us where we are, right?
Right.
So if we make money well, cheap again.
Yeah, it was cheap money that got us where we are. It was that it was the COVID-driven spike in the money supply. It was a consumer that was held back from consuming for a period of time. So there was pent-up demand and lots of money mm-hmm. in the system. And that is that increase in the money supply, the pent-up demand, the continued demand that we're seeing now that's based on debt mm-hmm. To a great extent on credit card spending. But it's continuing. And that's why I think it makes sense that we're going to see at least one more uptick in interest rates. And then I just don't anticipate much change until we get that Fed funds rate on top of the rate of inflation.
Well, because Scott said something that really piqued my attention here. Food is cheaper here than about any place else in the world. There may be upside for beef. And I would almost say that, would that be this? If it's true for beef, is that true for all food? I mean, if we're talking about an inflationary environment continuing, perhaps the Fed exacerbating the situation and it actually increasing inflation despite good intentions.
Yep.
If Scott's right, man, and there's room to the upside for the box beef, mm-hmm. for beef at the grocery store, dude, that means Cheerios, that means pickles, that's everything, bro.
Yeah, it absolutely does, and I agree with that because it's not, beef does not live on an island when it comes to it. And think about the pressure, the margin pressure that all the manufacturers are feeling and always feel. You don't want to report to your stockholders that, or even the board. Of your company that, hey, you know what, margins are getting squeezed, but that's okay. We really don't feel like we have any pricing power in this environment. We're just going to let things tighten up for us. Yeah, mm-hmm. that rarely happens.
Yeah, no.
That rarely happens.
Not a recipe for long-term employment.
No, and that is their goal. That is their goal, without a doubt, is to at least maintain, if not grow, the margins out there. So, yep. All right. Hey, thanks for listening today to all of you up in Northeast Iowa that are making your way to the Pinnacon in New Hampton this evening. I'll be there. I'll be at the CUSB Bank meeting tonight at the Pinnacon up in New Hampton.
Tomorrow morning, perhaps.
We're going to learn about green methanol tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.